To fully understand the life and ministry of the prophet Ezekiel, it is essential to begin with the historical context in which he lived. Ezekiel was born around 622 BC, during the reign of Josiah, one of Judah's most notable kings. Josiah was known for his religious reforms and efforts to centralize worship in Jerusalem, trying to eliminate the widespread idolatry in the land. This period was a time of hope for many, with expectations of a spiritual and national revival. However, this hope was short-lived. After Josiah's death, the political and spiritual situation in Judah quickly deteriorated. The kings who succeeded him did not follow his example, and the nation reverted to its old ways of idolatry and injustice. The Assyrian Empire, which had previously dominated the region, was in decline, gradually being replaced by Babylon as the new dominant power. In 597 BC, during the reign of Jehoiakim, Judah faced a crisis. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon besieged Jerusalem, taking Jehoiakim captive along with many of the nobles, craftsmen, and soldiers of Judah. Among these exiles was Ezekiel, a young man of approximately 25 years old, from a priestly family. This first deportation was a traumatic event for the people of Judah, who now found themselves living in a foreign land, trying to understand why they had fallen into such misfortune. The exile in Babylon was a period of great crisis of faith and identity for the Jews. Far from the temple and their homeland, they questioned the future and God's faithfulness to his promises. In this context of uncertainty and despair, Ezekiel began his prophetic ministry. He was about 30 years old when God called him to be a prophet, a significant age, as it was the age when Levites began their service in the temple. Ezekiel received his calling while among the exiles by the Kebar River. Babylon, with its distinct culture and religion, represented a constant challenge to the faith of the exiles. They were surrounded by a civilization that seemed powerful and prosperous, while they themselves lived in poverty and despair. This hostile environment shaped Ezekiel's message, which often used symbols and visions to communicate divine truths. Understanding this historical context is crucial to understanding Ezekiel's prophecies. He spoke to a people in exile, a people desperately in need of hope and direction. His messages were both of judgment and hope, promising restoration and renewal, but also emphasizing the need for repentance and faithfulness to God. Ezekiel's call to prophetic ministry is marked by one of the most impressive and detailed visions in the Bible, highlighting the seriousness and grandeur of his mission. At the age of 30, while among the exiles by the Kebar River, Ezekiel had a vision that changed his life forever. He saw a stormy wind coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually and a bright light around it. In the midst of the fire, he saw four living creatures, each with four faces and four wings and wheels within wheels. These mysterious creatures, known as cherubim, represent the presence and mobility of the divine, showing that God is present even in exile. The vision culminated with the appearance of a sapphire throne and a glorious being seated upon it, surrounded by a radiance like a rainbow on a rainy day. This vision is interpreted as the manifestation of God's glory and Ezekiel's call to be a prophet. The presence of God, symbolized by the throne and the rainbow, indicated that despite the exile, God was still in control and present with his people. This revelation was fundamental to Ezekiel, reaffirming the divine sovereignty amidst the crisis. God addresses Ezekiel, calling him Son of Man, a title that emphasizes the prophet's humanity in contrast with the divine glory. This title is used repeatedly throughout the book of Ezekiel, highlighting the prophet's frailty and mortality before the Almighty God. God gives him the mission to speak to the people of Israel, whether they listen or refuse to listen. This call is accompanied by a scroll filled with lamentations, mourning, and woe, which Ezekiel must eat. This symbolic act of eating the scroll represents the internalization of the divine message, making it a part of Ezekiel. The experience of eating the scroll is described as bitter in the stomach but sweet in the mouth. This paradox symbolizes the nature of Ezekiel's message. It is sweet because it comes from God and is true, but bitter because it contains severe judgment and warnings. Accepting this prophetic mission was not easy, but it was necessary for Ezekiel to fulfill his role as God's spokesman. This prophetic call marks the beginning of a difficult but crucial ministry. Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman for the house of Israel, responsible for warning the people about spiritual dangers and the consequences of their sins. If he fails to warn, he will be held accountable for the blood of those who perish without warning. This heavy responsibility underscores the seriousness of his mission and the urgency of his message. After his call, Ezekiel begins to deliver God's messages to the people, using a series of symbolic actions and prophecies aimed at capturing the exiles' attention and communicating profound truths. One of his first symbolic actions was to build a model of Jerusalem and lay siege to it symbolically. This act dramatizes the imminent Babylonian siege of the city, warning the people of the approaching judgment. By visually representing the siege, Ezekiel makes the prophecy more concrete and impactful for his audience. In another symbolic act, Ezekiel lies on his left side for 390 days and on his right side for 40 days, each day representing a year of Israel's and Judah's sin. This action not only symbolizes the duration of the sin of the two nations, but also the time of punishment they would face. The image of a man lying down for such a long time, bearing the symbolic weight of the people's sin, was a powerful and disturbing sight, intended to provoke reflection and repentance. Ezekiel also shaves his head and beard, dividing the hair into three parts, each representing a different fate for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. One part is burned, symbolizing those who will die by fire during the siege. Another part is struck with a sword, representing those who will die by the sword. And the third part is scattered to the wind, symbolizing those who will be taken into exile. This act dramatically visualizes the different destinies awaiting the people, highlighting the seriousness of God's judgment. Besides these symbolic actions, Ezekiel also delivers oracles against neighboring nations, including Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, and Egypt. These prophecies show that God's judgment is not limited to Israel, but extends to all nations that oppose him and his people. By doing so, Ezekiel reaffirms God's universal sovereignty and the justice of his judgments. Ezekiel's early prophecies are filled with symbolism and drama, setting the tone for his ministry. He is not just a messenger, but an actor in divine dramas, using his own life and actions to communicate spiritual truths to the people. This innovative and often shocking approach aims to awaken the people from their complacency and lead them to repentance. One of Ezekiel's most impactful visions is that of the corrupted temple, described in Ezekiel chapter 8. At a critical moment in his life, Ezekiel is transported in spirit to Jerusalem, where he witnesses a series of abominations taking place within the temple, the center of worship to Yahweh. This vision reveals the depth of corruption and idolatry among the leaders and people of Israel. The vision begins with Ezekiel being brought to the entrance of the temple, where he sees an image of jealousy, a representation of idols that provokes God's wrath. As he enters deeper into the temple, Ezekiel observes 70 elders of Israel, including Jaazaniah, son of Shaphan, offering incense to idols drawn on the walls. This act symbolizes the secret worship of foreign gods, conducted by the very leaders who should guide the people in true worship of God. The vision continues with Ezekiel being taken to the entrance of the north gate of the temple, where he sees women weeping for Tammuz, a Babylonian god of vegetation. This pagan worship within the temple illustrates the complete inversion of Israel's religious values. Finally, Ezekiel is brought to the inner court of the temple, where he sees 25 men with their backs to the temple, prostrated towards the east, worshipping the sun. This image is the pinnacle of idolatry, representing a total rejection of Yahweh in favor of foreign gods. These abominations in the temple are a reflection of the spiritual corruption permeating the entire nation of Israel. God reveals to Ezekiel that idolatry is not limited to public places, but also invades the most sacred spaces. The temple, which should be a place of purity and worship of God, has become a site of abomination and idolatry. This vision is a direct indictment of Israel's leaders and people, showing that their infidelity is the root cause of their problems. The vision concludes with the glory of God rising from the temple, a clear sign that God is withdrawing his presence due to the extreme corruption. This event symbolizes the imminent judgment and destruction that would come upon Jerusalem. For the exiles, this vision would be a shock, as the temple was seen as the symbol of God's permanent presence among them. The departure of God's glory from the temple is one of the most tragic moments in Ezekiel's visions, symbolizing the loss of divine protection and Israel's vulnerability before their enemies. The importance of this vision cannot be underestimated. It serves as a severe warning to the exiles and an explanation of why God's judgment is necessary. Idolatry and spiritual corruption cannot be tolerated, and God's presence cannot coexist with blatant sin. This event marks a turning point in Ezekiel's narrative, where the hope of future restoration begins to emerge, but only after a period of severe judgment. After the vision of the corrupted temple, Ezekiel witnesses an even more painful and significant event, the glory of God leaving the temple. In Ezekiel 10, the prophet sees the glory of God moving from the cherubim to the entrance of the temple, and eventually leaving the temple and the city completely. This departure of God's glory is a symbolic act of God withdrawing his presence and protection due to the people's continued rebellion and idolatry. The vision begins with Ezekiel observing the cherubim and the wheels within wheels, the same elements he saw in his first vision of the call. The glory of God moves to the threshold of the temple, filling the inner courtyard with the brightness of the divine presence. This movement indicates that God is about to leave the temple, a sign that the destruction of Jerusalem is imminent. Ezekiel sees a man dressed in linen, instructed to take coals from among the wheels of the cherubim and scatter them over the city. This act symbolizes the purification and judgment that will come upon Jerusalem. The coals represent the fire of God's judgment, which will purify the city of its abominations. The fact that the man is dressed in linen, a priestly garment, suggests that this is an act of divine judgment, but also of purification. The glory of God moves from the cherubim to the eastern gate of the temple, and finally to the mountain east of the city, known as the Mount of Olives. This movement is a clear sign that God is abandoning Jerusalem, withdrawing his protection and presence due to the people's idolatry and corruption. The withdrawal of God's glory is a prelude to the destruction of Jerusalem, signaling that the city will no longer enjoy divine protection. For the exiles, this vision would be devastating, as the temple was the tangible symbol of God's covenant with Israel. The withdrawal of God's glory meant that the covenant was in crisis due to the people's unfaithfulness. This act symbolizes the severity of the judgment to come, but also sets the stage for the eventual promise of restoration. Despite the sadness of this vision, it also contains a seed of hope. The glory of God does not disappear completely, but moves to the east, suggesting that God is still present and active, even in the midst of judgment. This departure is temporary and points to a future when the glory of God will return, but in a new context of purification and spiritual renewal. This event is crucial for understanding Ezekiel's message. It shows that God is just and holy, unable to tolerate iniquity, but also merciful and willing to restore his people after a period of purification. The departure of God's glory is a reminder that God's presence is conditional on the people's faithfulness, and that true worship must be pure and sincere. Ezekiel is called by God to be a watchman for the house of Israel, a role of immense responsibility and significance. This calling is explained in Ezekiel 3, verses 26 to 27, and reiterated in Ezekiel 33. As a watchman, Ezekiel has the responsibility to warn the people of spiritual dangers and the consequences of their sins. If he fails to warn, he will be held accountable for the blood of those who perish without warning. If he warns and the people do not listen, he will be innocent of their blood. The role of a watchman symbolizes Ezekiel's prophetic responsibility. He must constantly be alert, watching and reporting God's warnings to the people. His mission is difficult, as he often faces rejection and resistance. However, Ezekiel's faithfulness in fulfilling his duty is crucial for the salvation of some and for the prophet's own spiritual integrity. The metaphor of the watchman emphasizes the urgency of Ezekiel's message. He cannot afford to be complacent or negligent. The spiritual and physical lives of the people are at stake, and Ezekiel must act with diligence and determination. This role underscores the importance of spiritual vigilance and continual repentance, central themes in Ezekiel's messages. The watchman's role also implies a call to personal responsibility. Each individual must hear and respond to God's warnings. Ezekiel can warn, but he cannot force people to repent. This aspect of the watchman's role highlights God's justice and mercy, offering opportunities for repentance, but also establishing clear consequences for disobedience. In Ezekiel 33, after the fall of Jerusalem, the role of the watchman is emphasized again, highlighting the continuity of Ezekiel's responsibility even in times of despair. He is called to warn both the righteous and the wicked about the need to live righteously and repent of sins. Ezekiel's message is clear. Personal righteousness and faithfulness to God are essential for survival and divine blessing. Ezekiel's mission as a watchman also involves proclaiming hope. After the period of judgment, he prophesies about the restoration of Israel and the renewal of the covenant with God. This message of hope is vital for the exiles, offering a vision of a future where faithfulness and pure worship will be rewarded with the renewed presence of God among his people. As a watchman and prophet, Ezekiel was given the task by God to proclaim severe prophecies of judgment against Jerusalem. In Ezekiel chapters 4 and 5, he performs dramatic symbolic acts to convey the gravity of the situation and the imminent destruction that would come upon the city and its inhabitants. These prophecies are crucial for understanding God's justice in action and the need for the people's repentance. In Ezekiel chapter 4, God instructs Ezekiel to create a model of Jerusalem under siege. He uses a brick to represent the city and sets up siege works and ramps around it. This symbolic act is a visual representation of the Babylonian siege that would come upon Jerusalem. Ezekiel is to lie on his left side for 390 days and on his right side for 40 days, symbolizing the years of Israel's and Judah's sin. During this time, he is to eat a ration of food baked over cow dung, symbolizing the scarcity and impurity the people will face during the siege. The intensity of these symbolic acts cannot be understated. They serve to shock the audience and force reflection on the seriousness of the situation. The use of such vivid and uncomfortable symbols highlights the brutal reality of God's judgment. Ezekiel is literally living out the message, showing the proximity and inevitability of the impending disaster. In Ezekiel chapter 5, the prophet is instructed to shave his head and beard, dividing the hair into three parts. One part is to be burned in the fire, representing those who will perish during the siege. Another part is to be struck with the sword, symbolizing those who will be killed by the sword. And the third part is to be scattered to the wind, representing those who will be taken into exile. This act symbolizes the different fates awaiting the people of Jerusalem. Ezekiel is also to take a few strands of hair and bind them to the edge of his garment, symbolizing a small remnant that will be saved. These actions and prophecies highlight God's justice and the need for purification. The severity of the judgment is a direct response to the people's persistent unfaithfulness and idolatry. At the same time, there is an implicit message of hope. A remnant will be preserved indicating that God will not completely abandon his people. Through these prophecies of judgment, Ezekiel underscores the urgent need for repentance and a return to God. He warns that destruction is imminent, but also pleads with the people to seek God's mercy before it is too late. This combination of severe judgment and hope for redemption is a recurring theme in Ezekiel's messages, reflecting the complexity of the relationship between God and his people. In addition to his prophecies against Jerusalem, Ezekiel also delivers oracles of judgment against the neighboring nations. These oracles, found in chapters 25 to 32, demonstrate that God's judgment is not limited to Israel, but extends to all nations that oppose him and his people. The nations mentioned include Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, Sidon, and Egypt. The oracles against Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Philistia are brief but harsh. God accuses these nations of rejoicing at Jerusalem's fall and participating in its destruction. In response, he promises that they will suffer judgment for their actions. Ammon and Moab will be given to the people of the east, Edom will be devastated, and Philistia will face severe vengeance. The oracles against Tyre and Egypt are more extensive and detailed. Tyre, a powerful and wealthy city-state due to its maritime trade, is condemned for its arrogance and joy at Jerusalem's fall. God promises that Tyre will be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and its ruins will become a place to dry fishing nets. This prophecy is a devastating blow to the proud city of Tyre, symbolizing the fall of the mighty who exalt themselves against God. Egypt, another great power of the time, is also targeted in Ezekiel's oracles. God accuses Egypt of arrogance and reliance on its own power and wisdom. He promises that Egypt will be devastated and its inhabitants scattered. The Pharaoh, who considered himself a god, will be humiliated, and Egypt will be given to the Babylonians. This prophecy serves as a warning against self-sufficiency and idolatry, highlighting that no earthly power can equal God's power. These oracles against the nations show that God is sovereign over all nations and that his justice is universal. They also serve as a comfort to Israel's exiles, showing that their enemies will also face judgment and that God's justice will prevail. Ezekiel uses these prophecies to reaffirm that God is in control and that he will execute his justice throughout the world. Through the oracles against the nations, Ezekiel emphasizes God's impartial justice. No nation is exempt from judgment, and all will be held accountable for their actions. At the same time, these prophecies reinforce the hope that after judgment, there will be a time of restoration and renewal for Israel and for all nations that turn to God. One of Ezekiel's most powerful and inspiring visions is the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, found in Ezekiel 37. This vision occurs at a time of despair and hopelessness for the exiles, offering a promise of renewal and spiritual resurrection for Israel. In the vision, Ezekiel is taken by the Spirit of God to a valley full of dry bones. He is instructed to walk among the bones, observing their vast number and dryness. This image of desolation represents the spiritual and national state of Israel, which was dead in its situation of exile and loss of identity. God asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel responds, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." God then instructs Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, telling them to hear the word of the Lord. As Ezekiel prophesies, there is a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones come together, forming complete skeletons. Then tendons and flesh cover the bones, but there is still no life in them. God instructs Ezekiel to prophesy to the Spirit, asking it to come from the four winds and breathe into these bodies so they may live. When Ezekiel obeys, the Spirit enters them, and they stand up as a vast army. This vision symbolizes the restoration of Israel. The dry bones represent the house of Israel, which sees itself as cut off and without hope. God's word, proclaimed by Ezekiel, brings life and hope, showing that God has the power to restore what is dead. The breath of the Spirit represents spiritual renewal and the life-giving presence of God, essential for true life. God explains to Ezekiel that this vision is a promise that he will open the graves of his people and bring them back to the land of Israel. This prophecy is not just about physical restoration, but also about spiritual renewal. God promises to put his spirit in them, ensuring they will live in obedience and communion with him. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones offers a powerful message of hope and renewal. It shows that even in the most desperate situations, God has the power to bring life and restoration. This vision reaffirms God's faithfulness to his promises and his desire to see his people restored and living in fullness. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is just the beginning of God's promises of restoration for Israel. In Ezekiel chapters 36 and 37, God promises not only to physically restore the people of Israel, but also to establish a new covenant with them, which will transform their hearts and renew their relationship with him. This promise of spiritual renewal is crucial for understanding the scope of God's redemptive plan. In Ezekiel 36, verses 22 to 32, God explains that the restoration of Israel is not just for their sake, but for the sake of his holy name, which has been profaned among the nations. God promises to gather his people from all the nations, bring them back to their own land, and purify them from all their impurities and idols. He promises to give them a new heart and put a new spirit within them, removing their heart of stone and giving them a heart of flesh. This internal transformation is essential for the people of Israel to live in obedience and communion with God. God also promises to put his spirit within the people, enabling them to follow his decrees and obey his laws. This promise of spiritual renewal anticipates the new covenant, which would be fully realized through Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God's Spirit in the hearts of believers is the distinctive mark of the new covenant, ensuring that they live in obedience and communion with him. In addition to spiritual transformation, God promises to restore the land of Israel, making it flourish again. The cities will be rebuilt, the fields will be cultivated, and the land will become productive and prosperous once more. This physical restoration is a visible sign of God's blessing and a testimony to the surrounding nations that God is faithful to his promises. The vision of the two sticks in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 to 28, further reinforces the promise of unity and restoration. God instructs Ezekiel to take two sticks, one representing Judah and its companions, and the other representing Ephraim, Israel, and its companions. Ezekiel is to join them into one stick, symbolizing the reunification of the two houses of Israel into one people. God promises that they will no longer be two nations, nor will they be divided into two kingdoms. They will be one people with one king and will live in obedience to God. God promises to establish his servant David as king over them, a messianic reference pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ, the son of David, who will reign over Israel and the nations with justice and righteousness. Under this new governance, the people of Israel will live in safety and peace, fulfilling God's vision of a restored and faithful people. In the final chapters of Ezekiel, from 40 to 48, the prophet receives a detailed vision of a new Jerusalem and a new temple. This vision, often called the temple vision, offers a concrete hope of restoration and renewal for the people of Israel. The detailed description of the temple and the city is full of symbolism and theological significance. The vision begins with Ezekiel being taken by a celestial being to a high mountain, where he sees a structure resembling a city, a man with the appearance of bronze, holding a linen cord and a measuring rod, guides Ezekiel through a detailed measurement of the temple. Each part of the temple is measured precisely, indicating the order and perfection of God's plan. The new temple is much larger and more magnificent than the previous temple, symbolizing the fullness of God's presence among his people. The detailed descriptions of the courts, gates, chambers, and altars emphasize the holiness and importance of the temple as the center of worship to God. This new temple is not just a physical place, but a symbol of the new covenant and the permanent presence of God among his people. The temple vision includes the return of God's glory, which had departed from the previous temple. In Ezekiel 43, God's glory returns to the temple, filling it with His presence. This return is a powerful sign that God has restored His relationship with Israel and that He will dwell among them again. The vision emphasizes that God's presence is central to the life and identity of the people of Israel. Beyond the physical structure of the temple, the vision includes the spiritual renewal of the people. In Ezekiel 44, God establishes regulations for the priests and Levites, highlighting the importance of purity and faithfulness in serving God. The priests are to be models of holiness, teaching the people to distinguish between the holy and the profane, the pure and the impure. This emphasis on holiness reflects the internal renewal that God promised in Ezekiel 36. The vision of the new temple culminates with the description of the river of life in Ezekiel 47. This river flows from the temple, increasing in depth and width as it goes. It brings life and healing wherever it goes, transforming the desert into fertile lands and causing fruit trees to grow along its banks. The river symbolizes the life and blessing that flow from God's presence, bringing renewal and abundance to the people of Israel. Finally, Ezekiel describes the new division of the land among the 12 tribes of Israel, with the city of Jerusalem at the center. The city is called Yahweh Shammah, which means "the Lord is there," highlighting the permanent presence of God among His people. This final vision offers a concrete hope of restoration and renewal, reaffirming God's faithfulness to His promises. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, the prophet describes a great final battle against the forces of evil, represented by Gog of the land of Magog and his allied hordes. This apocalyptic prophecy highlights the ultimate struggle between the forces of God and the forces of evil, offering a vision of God's definitive triumph over His enemies. Gog is described as a powerful leader who will come from the land of Magog, a distant place in the north. He will gather a vast coalition of nations, including Meshech, Tubal, Persia, Cush, and Put, to attack Israel. This coalition represents the forces of evil and rebellion against God, who will unite in a final assault against the people of God. The invasion of Gog and his forces is described as a surprise attack against a restored and peaceful Israel. They will come like a storm, covering the land like a cloud. However, God will intervene decisively to protect His people. He will cause a great earthquake, and the mountains will be thrown down, the cliffs will fall, and every wall will collapse. God will call for a sword against Gog on all his mountains, and every man will turn his sword against his brother. God will also send pestilence and blood, torrential rain, hailstones, fire and brimstone upon Gog and his hordes. This divine intervention will highlight God's sovereignty and power, showing that He is the protector of Israel and the judge of the nations. The defeat of Gog will be total and final, and his armies will be destroyed on the mountains of Israel. After the defeat of Gog, there will be a period of purification and restoration. The people of Israel will spend 7 months burying the dead and cleansing the land. God promises to give Gog a place of burial in Israel, called the Valley of the Travelers, east of the sea. This valley will become a place of remembrance of God's triumph over His enemies. The victory over Gog and Magog is not just a military victory, but also a spiritual victory. God promises to pour out His Spirit on the house of Israel, renewing their faith and commitment. This final battle symbolizes the ultimate defeat of evil and the complete restoration of God's people. It points to the eschatological hope that God will establish His kingdom of peace and justice. The prophecy of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39 has profound eschatological significance, not only in the immediate context of ancient Israel, but also in a broader sense that resonates in later scriptures and Christian theology. The final battle against Gog and his hordes represents the ultimate confrontation between good and evil, which will be consummated at the end of times. This theme is echoed in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, where Gog and Magog are mentioned again in a final battle context, Revelation 20 verses 7 to 10. In Ezekiel's context, the defeat of Gog symbolizes God's vindication and the definitive proof of his sovereignty. The purpose of this battle is twofold: to punish the enemy nations and to reaffirm God's covenant with Israel. By bringing judgment upon Gog and Magog, God demonstrates his power over all nations, affirming that he is the Lord of the universe. This divine intervention is a response to the prayers and hopes of the people of Israel, who longed for deliverance and justice. For later readers, especially in the Christian tradition, the Battle of Gog and Magog is seen as a prefiguration of Armageddon, the final battle between the forces of Christ and the armies of Satan. As in Ezekiel, God's victory is assured, and this victory marks the beginning of a new kingdom of peace and justice. The parallel between Ezekiel's visions and the descriptions in Revelation suggests a continuity in the eschatological narrative, where the struggle against evil culminates in God's definitive victory and the complete redemption of his people. Besides the military and judgment aspects, the prophecy of Gog and Magog also highlights the need for purification and renewal. After the destruction of the enemies, the people of Israel undergo a period of purification, symbolized by the burial of the dead and the cleansing of the land. This purification process is essential to prepare the people for God's continued presence among them. In Christian theology, this concept is reflected in the idea of sanctification, where believers are called to purify themselves in preparation for the second coming of Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom. The promised restoration after the battle against Gog and Magog includes not only peace and security, but also spiritual renewal. God promises to pour out his Spirit on the people of Israel, restoring their faith and commitment. This promise of the outpouring of the Spirit is partially fulfilled at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples, marking the beginning of the Christian Church. However, the fullness of this promise is awaited in the final consummation of times, when God will fully dwell with his people in a new heaven and a new earth. A crucial theme in the book of Ezekiel is individual responsibility. This concept is particularly emphasized in Ezekiel 18, where God makes it clear that each person is responsible for their own sins and that God's justice is equitable and personal. This message is fundamental to understanding the relationship between God and his people and how he deals with sin and justice. In Ezekiel 18, God challenges a popular proverb among the exiles: "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." This proverb suggests that children pay for the sins of their parents. However, God rejects this idea, stating that each person will be judged according to their own actions. He explains that if a righteous man has a wicked son, the wicked son will be responsible for his own sins, and the righteous man will not be punished for his son's sins. Likewise, if a wicked man has a righteous son, the righteous son will live by his own righteousness, and the wicked father will suffer for his own sins. God presents a series of examples to illustrate his impartial justice. He describes a righteous man who lives according to God's laws, doing what is right and just. This man will be rewarded with life. In contrast, the son of this man, who engages in violence and idolatry, will be punished for his own actions. Finally, if the son of this wicked man repents and follows righteousness, he will be spared and live. This sequence of examples clearly shows that God's justice is individual, not collective. The message of individual responsibility in Ezekiel 18 is a call to personal repentance. God emphasizes that he does not desire the death of the wicked, but rather that they repent and live. This emphasis on the possibility of repentance and change highlights God's mercy and grace. He is always willing to forgive those who turn to him with a sincere and repentant heart. Moreover, this passage challenges spiritual complacency and the sense of inevitability of judgment. The exiles, who might have felt like victims of their nation's collective sin, are called to take responsibility for their own actions and to seek a personal and righteous relationship with God. Ezekiel's message is clear. Each person has the power and responsibility to choose their own path, whether of life or death. Ezekiel's prophetic mission is one of the most challenging and persistent among the biblical prophets. From the beginning of his calling, Ezekiel is informed that his task will be difficult and that he will face much opposition. However, his persistence and faithfulness to God's calling are remarkable and exemplary. When Ezekiel is called by God, he is warned that the people to whom he will be sent are rebellious and obstinate. In Ezekiel 2, verses 3 to 7, God tells Ezekiel that he must speak to the people, whether they listen or not, because they are a rebellious nation. This initial warning highlights the difficulty of his mission. Ezekiel must be faithful to his calling, regardless of the people's response. To strengthen Ezekiel in his task, God makes him as hard and unyielding as the people he will face. In Ezekiel 3, verses 8 and 9, God says, "Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." This description shows that Ezekiel will be empowered to withstand resistance and rejection, remaining steadfast in his mission. Ezekiel's faithfulness is demonstrated repeatedly throughout his ministry. He performs difficult and often painful symbolic acts to convey God's messages. For example, he remains mute for 7 years, except when delivering God's messages as a sign to the people, Ezekiel 3 verses 26 and 27. He also undergoes a period of symbolic mourning when his wife dies, but he is instructed not to mourn publicly as a sign of the impending judgment on Jerusalem, Ezekiel 24 verses 15 to 27. Ezekiel is also instructed to perform dramatic actions to illustrate his prophecies, such as building a model of Jerusalem under siege, lying on his side for long periods, and eating rationed food to symbolize the scarcity during the siege, Ezekiel 4 verse 5. These actions not only communicate God's messages, but also demonstrate Ezekiel's total commitment to his prophetic calling. Ezekiel's persistence is a powerful example of obedience and faithfulness to God. He continues to proclaim God's message, even when facing rejection, ridicule, and personal suffering. His life is a testimony that God's calling requires sacrifice and dedication, but also that God empowers those he calls, giving them the strength and courage to fulfill his will. Ezekiel's messages, though delivered millennia ago, have surprising relevance to the contemporary context. His themes of justice, repentance, individual responsibility, and spiritual renewal resonate deeply in our current world, marked by moral, political, and spiritual crises. Examining the relevance of these messages can provide valuable insights and inspiration for today's generations. First, Ezekiel's emphasis on individual responsibility is a powerful call to personal introspection. In an era where blame is often externalized and responsibility is diffuse, Ezekiel's message that each person is responsible for their own actions and must answer to God for them is a clear reminder of the need for personal integrity. This is particularly relevant in a world where individual decisions have significant collective impact, such as in the climate crisis and social justice issues. Additionally, Ezekiel's insistence on divine justice challenges contemporary notions of human justice, which are often flawed and influenced by selfish interests. God's justice, as presented by Ezekiel, is impartial and equitable, and he shows no favoritism. This vision of justice can inspire social and political movements to pursue a truer and more equitable justice that reflects divine principles of equality and righteousness. The theme of repentance and spiritual renewal in Ezekiel is also extremely pertinent. In a world marked by spiritual alienation and a search for meaning, God's promise to give his people a new heart and a new spirit, Ezekiel 36 verse 26, offers a vision of hope and transformation. This message can encourage individuals and communities to seek genuine spiritual renewal, turning to God for direction, purpose, and healing. Ezekiel's vision of the new temple and the new Jerusalem, with God's permanent presence among his people, offers an eschatological hope that transcends temporal circumstances. In times of global uncertainty and social disintegration, the promise of complete restoration and eternal communion with God is an anchor of hope. It points to a future where justice, peace, and true worship will prevail, and where God's presence will bring healing and renewal to all things. The struggle against the forces of evil, symbolized by the battle against Gog and Magog, also resonates in a world where evil and injustice seem to prevail. The certainty that God will triumph over all forces of evil and establish his kingdom of justice and peace is an encouraging message for those striving for a better world. This eschatological vision motivates perseverance and faith, knowing that in the end, divine justice will prevail. The contemporary relevance of Ezekiel's messages is not limited to individual or spiritual themes. His vision of a restored and renewed community can inform and inspire efforts for social and political reconstruction. The idea that renewal begins in the heart and manifests in all areas of life is a powerful principle that can guide community transformation initiatives seeking a more just, compassionate, and spiritually oriented society. Ezekiel's legacy is profound and multifaceted, influencing not only the Jewish tradition, but also the Christian one, and offering valuable lessons for all times. His life and messages leave a lasting impact on how we understand the relationship between God and his people, the importance of justice, and the hope for spiritual and physical renewal. Ezekiel is primarily remembered as a prophet of powerful visions and symbolic actions. His visions, such as the Valley of Dry Bones and the glory of God returning to the temple, continue to be studied and revered for their spiritual depth and theological significance. They offer a vivid portrayal of God's transformative power and the promise of renewal, which resonate deeply in religious and spiritual traditions. Besides his visions, Ezekiel's symbolic acts, such as building the model of besieged Jerusalem or lying on his side for extended periods, demonstrate total commitment to his prophetic mission. These actions are remembered as examples of obedience and faithfulness to God, inspiring believers to live their lives with a similar sense of purpose and dedication. Ezekiel's emphasis on individual responsibility and divine justice has left a significant impact on theology and ethics. His messages challenge notions of collective guilt and promote the importance of personal repentance and renewal. This focus on individual justice remains relevant in modern discussions of morality and responsibility, offering a theological perspective that values personal integrity and righteousness. The book of Ezekiel is also a rich source of eschatological hope. His promises of restoration and renewal, encapsulated in the visions of the new temple and the new Jerusalem, point to a future where God's presence brings wholeness and peace. These visions influence not only the Jewish hope of national restoration, but also the Christian hope of the kingdom of God, where all things will be made new. Ezekiel's impact on apocalyptic literature is notable. His writings significantly influenced the book of Revelation in the New Testament, especially in the imagery of judgment, renewal, and the final battle against evil. The continuity of Ezekiel's visions and themes in Christian apocalyptic literature demonstrates the durability and depth of his prophecies. Finally, Ezekiel's legacy is a testimony to the power of God's word and the faithfulness of his servants. He shows that even in times of despair and judgment, God is working to redeem and restore his people. Ezekiel's life and ministry are a reminder that faithfulness to God and obedience to his word are essential, even when facing opposition and challenges. Ezekiel remains a central figure in biblical history, whose life and messages continue to inspire and challenge believers to live according to the principles of justice, repentance, and renewal. His legacy is a lasting testament to God's transformative power and the eternal hope found in his presence.